thank you very much for arranging this call, Jen, and working with us, not only on this issue, but on a number of things we're going to be talking about today. My name is Martin Suberg. I'm the commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. In addition to having me on the call, I know we're joined by Kathy Baskin, our Assistant Commissioner for Water Resources, Yvette DePisa, our Drinking Water Program Director, Damon Guterman, as well as people from each of our regional offices, recognizing that it's all important that we're all staying engaged during this very unusual time. The meeting is, as the other meetings are, is being recorded. We make a copy of this recording available on the MassDEP website shortly after it's concluded, just so that it can be there as a resource. It's there in the same section where our updated questions and answers documents are, and guidance documents are. So we'll make sure that we're continuing to post this, as well as to put the latest updated information on. A couple of things to highlight. As always, I think we are lucky to be joined. I think she's on the call. We're lucky to be joined by Jane Downing, the head of drinking water for EPA Region 1. We always make sure that Jane has time in the beginning of this call to provide us with any EPA updates. So, Jane, if you wouldn't mind unmuting yourself, we'd welcome your remarks.
Thank you, Commissioner, and thank you, Jen. I just have three different items to talk about today. The first one is the PPE, the cloth masks. And the latest that we have heard is Massachusetts, we're up to 60,500. The original target was to receive 60,000 across the state. So we got a little bit more, 500. I think that was a little extra for the great effort that you all are doing. So that was the good news, and I'm pretty sure the commissioner will amplify on that. And I think that it was really important to jump on these masks and do it in a way that you all did by working with a coalition of the agency, the associations, and of course the utilities, because I do think that the federal agencies are taking note of what you all have accomplished. So think about the fact that you stood up very quickly and distributed these masks broadly across the state. I think that's just a wonderful example of what this critical infrastructure can do. So like energy and healthcare, we are continuing to talk about water. And on that vein, I will say that today we received an email from DHS, Department of Homeland Security, and FEMA. They're asking about the potential for other needs for the water sector. And I'm gonna read off what the categories are to have you think about this for those on the call. So the categories that we are wondering about include shortage of building materials used to build, maintain your facilities, water companies having an issue with replacement parts for their vehicle fleets, water companies having an issue purchasing heavy vehicles, concerns about the rising cost of liquid oxygen, and I think there was one or two cases in Massachusetts on that. And finally, N95 masks. So they're not asking for exact numbers of needs. They're just reaching out to try to figure out whether we have issues, whether we have specific cases. If anybody has an example of any of those categories where you have faced that need and dealt with it, or can explain what the impacts are for any of those categories, I think Kathy Baskin is interested in getting from you. In addition, or you could send that to me as well, downing.jane@epa.gov. And I think in addition, on the N95, if there are comments that you want to give us today, or if you want to do it later on, I guess we're interested, generally speaking, in whether that is an area that you would all want to have support. We've already given out the cloth masks if there is availability of N95s. Is this something that you would like us to advocate for? So think about that one as well. So that's my first one, is just another area where people are asking about needs for the water sector, which is really a good example of working together here, federal, state, and local. The second thing I wanted to talk about was there are some webinars coming up. There was one from EPA about opening up buildings, but I heard that that's closed, so we'll look for another one coming up after that. There are some Water Research Foundation webinars that are particularly interesting. One is on May 28th from 3 to 4. It's called The Impact of Prolonged Shutdown on Buildings. So you might want to check that one out. And finally, on June 3rd, the Water Research Foundation is also offering COVID-19 surveillance in wastewater. So that's June 3rd, 3 to 4. And let's see, I think that is it for us. I guess the last thing would be on CO2, which is used for a pH control. There is a map that was recently put out on the EPA website so that you can see across the country what systems are using CO2 for pH control. And if you're interested in that, supposedly DHS is monitoring the 100 systems or so across the country, and they're worried about that. And I think that's it, Commissioner. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jane. Yeah, in a moment, I will talk about where we are on the cloth mask distribution. But before that, you you invited you know, the folks on this call. It's a pretty wide-ranging list of building materials, parts for fleets, heavy vehicles, liquid oxygen costs, and N95. And if I heard you right, people with needs or things they want to describe can send it either to you or to Kathy Baskin. And if Kathy Baskin receives it, then she will make sure that, you know, she's forwarding it to you so that whatever discussions you're having it, you know, with the other federal partners that you're talking to, we'll try to make sure that, you know, that feedback is getting to you. Is there a time period, or, you know, do you need to hear by, you know, the end of the week or, you know, 2 weeks? I'm just curious if those that are talking to you about this have identified a window of time for these responses.
Good question. Thank you for asking that. I'll be sending something in by COB tomorrow. So I really only want to hear from people that have dealt with these issues and can express their impacts. On the N95, you know, I think people can send me some comments on that as well. So by COB tomorrow, and I'll do my best to put in a placeholder for the state. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jane. All right. You know, appreciate that input. Before I talk a little bit about where we are on cloth masks, which was something we've been talking about for the past, you know, several weeks, you know, the next thing I wanted to highlight was we're usually having Mike Maynard from the licensing board on the call, and I was wondering if Mike was on today and if he'd like to provide us with any updates.
Yes, I'm here, Commissioner. Thank you. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Update, the testing centers for operator licensing are open. So they are taking, you know, applications online. You just go to PSI and sign up. They're scheduling them into June now. If for some reason you can't get into one of the testing centers, or they're one of them's closed, please send a message to michael.maynard@mass.gov. But we have verification that people are signing up and taking exams at the Massachusetts locations. The next thing is temporary emergency certification. the Board of Certification is up to date on those. So if you have not, if you have submitted an application and have not received a response, please just send an email again to michael.maynard@mass.gov. Training contact hours, I know this was a concern for some of the associations and operators. They weren't going to be able to make their required TCHs for their licensing. But again, the associations have stepped up and moved some of their courses to an online format, which have been approved by the board. So New England Waterworks, Mass Rural Water Association, Mass Waterworks, RCAP, and MWRA have moved courses to an online format. So that's good news. We've also have other ones that are we're working through with AWWA. Are looking to move some of their courses to an online format. Again, the most important thing is verification of the individual in the class. Applications are being processed by DPL. We worked through some of the bugs, and it's a little slow, but they are being processed and they're moving it along. And that's about it, Commissioner. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Thanks for the updates and thanks for being on the call in case we get any follow-up questions. Appreciate it. So a couple of things. You know, first of all, on the cloth masks, as you know, Jane noted, there have been a couple of things going on. We've been working DEP, a number of the utilities, you know, including Greater Lawrence, MWRA, Upper Blackstone, Springfield, Barnstable, New Bedford, you know, a number of others have been working to do the initial distribution of the 31,000 masks that were identified on the survey. And I really want to thank, all those regional partners for really, you know, working with us and working with your colleagues to get those deliveries done. And at this point, I think just under 30,000 masks have been delivered to over 330 facilities. As Jane noted, they've been continuing to come in, and we now have another 30,000 masks. So I believe, and you know, Kathy Baskin, if I'm saying any of this wrong, you can unmute yourself and correct me, but I believe with these additional masks now, we're going to do a second round of surveys to see who's still got needs or maybe who wasn't able to take, you know, get a response in the first time to distribute the next batch of these 30,000, you know, 31,000 masks so that we distribute those expeditiously as well. I believe there will be a survey up later today, you know, a period of time, and then we're going to engage with those partners again to make sure that we are, working on a distribution system that works for everybody. So, it's good news that we have those additional masks, the cloth masks to distribute. And again, look for that survey. And we will work as we did before, you know, Kathy Baskin, Amy Finch and their team to distribute, you know, work with the partners and distribute this as expeditiously as possible. Kathy Baskin, is there anything else you'd like to say about that particular part of the operation?
Commissioner, I have posted the link to the new survey in the chat. If folks are on the phone and they need the link sent to them by email, they can email me at kathleen.baskin@mass.gov. We're going to keep the survey open until June 5th. So we'll be able to mention this one more time on call next week. We really would like everybody to respond. So even if you've received masks before, feel free to request more. And certainly, if you haven't received any yet, we would welcome your responses.
Okay, terrific. Thanks. So it's already up, and presumably the link will also be on our website, and we'll do all the communications you did for the previous one.
That's right.
Okay. Great. Thank you. You know, a couple of other things. We got one request for, you know, that came in and, you know, prior to this meeting that we're going to talk about in a minute. In the meantime, you know, again, we're all keeping our eyes open. We don't have an update on the federal stimulus package materials. I know it's an issue of great import, and every time we're talking to people in the command center or others, we highlight this as a very important area that you know water utilities are going to be dealing with, and you know going forward, this is an area that needs to be addressed when we talk about economic impacts and how they affect our communities. So we don't have anything new to report today, but you know we, like you, are watching things as closely as possible. The one question we got was. Request that the drinking water program might give an overview of the RTCR guidance that went out in the P director email on Friday. So I might ask Yvette DePisa if you wouldn't mind unmuting yourself and going through that guidance in a little more detail.
Yeah, sure, Marty. This is Damon.
Actually, Damon will be doing it.
Okay, my apologies, Damon. The floor is yours.
Not a problem. I was going to say the same thing. So last Friday, we sent out an email that describes how we're going to respond to a failure to monitor violation under the revised total coliform rule. If, in fact, you've taken your best effort to find alternate locations, but due to access, like homeowners that won't let you in or businesses that are closed or other similar situations, your system was unable to take the full amount of required sampling. Just to put it in a little perspective, EPA came out with guidance from the Office of Enforcement and Compliance Assurance telling us that you still have to meet all the regulatory requirements that you had before the pandemic hit. So even if you were to have a legitimate reason for not being able to get these samples taken, we are still required to record a violation against your system. That violation then triggers public notice, notification in your consumer conference report. But the flexible part is how the MassDEP is able to take a different enforcement response than we would normally take. So what we've done is we've actually created a form, and it was in the email last week, and I just put the link into the chat for this Zoom meeting as well, and we can make it available to people who are on the phone if you want to email us. It's a straightforward form. It just basically says that, you know, we couldn't do this and here's the reason why. And if MassDEP accepts that reason, then we will not be taking traditional enforcement against your system. You will still be required to do public notice and to list your violation in your consumer conference reports, but you would not expect a notice of noncompliance from the department. Now, it's important to understand some of the things we're looking for. We want to make sure that we can distinguish between a system that just didn't do it, forgot about it, you know, it had a normal non-compliance, I'll call it, as opposed to systems that took the effort under the responses you're required to have in your emergency response plan to take some action to try to deal with these types of situations. So we want to see that you can document that you look for upstream and downstream repeats or alternate locations. You tried to get new homeowners to agree to let you sample maybe at their homes or their outside taps, but you simply were just not able to do so. And either you ran out of time before, you know, reaching out to enough homeowners to find enough samples or something else along those lines. And so that's what that simple form is gonna have you document to us. And if we accept your documentation, then simply be required to do your PN and CCR requirements. We did also include as an attachment to the last week's email, the modified language we'd expect you to put into your public notice or your consumer conference report that basically tells the public that you tried your best. You did some extraordinary efforts to try to find additional samples and to do your sampling in a representative way, but you were not able to hit the numeric number of samples that was required. And so that attachment is also gonna allow you to modify the PN and CCR. The normal public notice and CCR requirements don't change, and so you're still required to certify that you did public notice or you included a public notice in your CCR, and again, that you delivered your CCR as necessary. So that's sort of the thumbnail sketch of what we're doing here. It's just for monitoring violations at the moment. I know we've had other people talking to us about what if I couldn't do something else? And I'd encourage you to send those scenarios to us through the program director's email account. So that's program.director-dwp@mass.gov so that we can evaluate those situations going forward. And that's it, Marty.
Okay, thanks, Damon. Appreciate that. I don't know, Jen, if any other questions have either come in through the chat or through email.
So we have a couple of things that have come in through chat. One comment, Jane did not highlight this, but nitrile gloves are tough to come by these days, especially larger sizes needed by many operators. So Jane, you might make a note about nitrile gloves. Then we have another request, I guess. So any shared methods from other DPWs about how they're addressing the cleaning / disinfection of equipment / tools used during responses to water main breaks or sewer plugs, i.e. on-site disinfection, disinfect between each use at job site, disinfect all items upon return to barn. This is in the case where multiple staff members may be coming in contact with the items. I will say that Mass Waterworks is hosting an operator roundtable tomorrow, and so we could certainly put this on the list for tomorrow's operator roundtable, but I guess we could also open it up for others to comment in a few minutes on that particular piece. We have another one, which is from Lynn Water, and that's to Jane's question, and they are saying they really would like to have N95 masks. Thanks. I have a question for Jane, and Jane had mentioned systems using CO2 and that you had that map on the EPA website, I believe. Do you know where exactly that can be located?
I'll double check, Jen, but I think it's the epa.gov coronavirus/coronavirus in drinking water and wastewater.
Okay.
I'll double check if that's different.
Thank you. So with that, I think that's all that we've gotten through chat and through email.
So maybe this is a good opportunity to see if anybody would like to say anything verbally. There was a couple of opportunities there. So if you think it's time, maybe we can see if, you know, folks yep. want to unmute themselves.
And if anyone has a question or wants to make a comment, you can unmute yourself using *6.
Well, doesn't sound like we have a lot of takers, but you know, there is some, you know, follow up that you know, we can certainly all engage in. I think, you know, one of the things is filling out our new survey on the cloth masks. And again, thank you to Jen and thank you to all of our regional partners. This has been a huge effort and very much appreciate everybody's work on that. And the opportunity to get more of these cloth masks that EPA has found for us is great. And so we at EPA or DEP are eager to make sure we're getting them into the hands of the people who need them. The other thing is, you know, Jane Downing's invitation on, you know, those topics that we highlighted. And as you noted, I guess nitrile gloves might get added to that discussion. So there's that. And, you know, in terms of cleaning of equipment, you know, I know it sounds like you may cover that on your own discussions, Jen. You know, the only thing I guess DEP would offer is, you know, the whatever guidance is out there in terms of cleaning surfaces, you know, on the COVID-19, you know, webpage, you know, what sorts of efforts to, you know, disinfect frequently touched surfaces would, you know, might be another resource.
Great. All right, last call for any questions. Again, you can unmute yourself at star six. Okay. All right, I think that will conclude the call for today then, and we have another one set up next Tuesday, 2 p.m.
Sounds great.
All right, thanks, Commissioner.
Thank you, and thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.